Morning, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. We're continuing on our series dealing with God's promises, which the Bible tells us are exceedingly great and precious. In fact, Matt, I think these slides are a little out of order, unfortunately. But our theme scriptures for this series of messages, two of them, we've got a number of them. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. A mouthful in those two verses, but one thing that we are drawing our attention to as we look to this theme of God's promises is that the promises of God are great, are many, and they are precious. They are powerful. And God, in the fulfillment of them, we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, goes above and beyond what we might ask or think. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is in work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we not only have these great and precious promises, they're far more than we could possibly think. God moves in an abundant fashion as He fulfills those promises. And then one I don't have for you, I neglected to put on the PowerPoint and in my notes today, but it's from 1 Corinthians. The promises of God are true. They are yes, and so we say amen. Very good. There's something to be said about repetition. Amen? We, in this process of talking about the promises of God, talked about what they are, in that they are pledges for deliverance. We have seen that they relate to our spiritual lives. We have the promise of forgiveness. And that's one of those instantaneous promises. Amen? And we put our faith in Jesus. Immediately we are forgiven of each and every sin. Bless God. The sins that are under the blood of Jesus shall never be remembered against us again. They've been blotted out. And I like that term. I think it's King James, but it's still good. They're blotted out. You think of that ink just covering those words. And once ink's on ink, you can't ever find it again. The promises of God also relate to our natural lives. They relate to our provision. They relate to our peace. They relate to our bodies, to our protection. We talked about where they come from, the Word of God. And the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether it's His still small voice, or whether through the ministry gifts of utterance, wisdom and knowledge. We've also talked about how there are promises of God for the present, but one of the greatest promises is that of eternal life. And someday we'll see Jesus face to face. Some of the things that we talked about this aspect of God going above and beyond what we might ask or think. He often goes deeper in our life than we want. A lot of times, and I speak primarily of myself, although I think it speaks to a lot of believers, when we're looking for God to intervene in our lives, we're often looking at some of our surface needs. God, would you do this for me? Would you get this for me? And I don't mean that in a selfish sense. I'm talking about genuine needs. And as we looked through the story, as we looked at the story of the man being dropped through the roof, God did do the healing work in that man's life, but before He did the healing work, He did a much more important work, a deeper work in his heart, the work of forgiveness. And I've seen in my life, in fact, I shared not just one testimony, a testimony that's happened to me over and over again. I've set my heart towards God for an answer or deliverance, a fulfillment of a promise in my life for a certain circumstance, and had God move in a deeper way, in and doing some things that he's also promised, but I just wasn't interested in at the moment. Talked about the importance of faith, and this is something that we need to reiterate. In fact, the man we're going to look at today is a man who received a great promise and held on to that promise through faith, that being Abraham. And we talked about the need for radical faith in believing God. And then last week we took time to talk about the unfulfilled promises, keeping in mind that God's promises are true, they are yes, and so in him we say amen. That God is not a liar, God is not a man that he should lie, but that some promises seemingly, and sometimes, well, we talked about that, but just to refer to it briefly this morning, there are some promises that we don't see fulfilled in two ways. Number one, we don't see them fulfilled in the time that we'd like them to be fulfilled in. And for me, it's usually right away. You know, when I have a need, when I want to see God intervene, when I read a promise or when the Spirit of God speaks to my heart, my time frame of that promise coming to pass is usually right now. But it doesn't always happen that way. And also, the promises of God not only don't happen on my timetable, they don't happen in the way that I expect or sometimes even want. In fact, a lot of times, God moves in such a way so that it is unmistakably, undeniably God, as it should be, for reasons that we're about to look into. And so we've talked about that. We talked about that specifically last week, and we can look at, you know, a lot of different needs, and it does a lot of different promises, rather, and it does apply to that. But specifically to the greatest promise that we, well, you know, I hate to say greatest because so many of the promises of God are great. One of the great and important promises of God, that being revival, one promise that I referred to last week and remind you of again this week is the promise that in the last days, what? God promised he's going to pour out his Spirit upon not just some flesh and not just his church. And it's great to see Sam here today. You snuck in on me. And bless God, may we pray God, complete healing in your body. Amen. And we know it's well on its way. But God pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters prophesying, young men seeing vision, old men dreaming dreams, upon your sons and your daughters, I will pour out my Spirit, and they who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To summarize that passage of Scripture, revival promises a personal revival. I need a personal revival, and people I love need revival, especially that initial revival of what we call the born-again experience of coming to Jesus, receiving the gift of eternal life. We have promises, and God has given every family here a promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and you and who else? Your household shall be saved. That's a promise God's word gives us, and not only the Apostle Paul, through the Apostle Paul, but also through Jesus himself when he came to Zacchaeus. He said, this day, what? Salvation has come to this house. Did they all become born again that day? Probably not. But they were on the road there. Revival concerning our church and the church. When I say this, I believe this is from God. I want more for our church as it relates to the moving of God's Holy Spirit, people coming to know Jesus, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, the great works. Not that God isn't doing things. He is. Bless God. And I thank God for his faithfulness, even in the dry time. But I know God has more for this church and for the church. Let me tell you which church is under assault in the United States today. It's all true Bible-believing churches. There's a real war that is going on. And if we look at it in the natural, there's a temptation to feel or to ask the question, will the church make it? But remember the promise of God, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? And God is bigger than any government, any social movement. He's bigger than Hollywood. Let me tell you, this is aside from the message, Hollywood is getting shaken right now. Amen. And he's bigger than all those things. And our country is in desperate need of revival. And you know, it's not a dead horse. I don't mean to beat a dead horse today, but just to remind you, because I think it's so important that we don't forget, there's the general promise that God's going to pour out His Spirit. But I, as a native-born New Englander, remember from the time I was a little kid, evangelists and people coming through New England saying, revival is coming to New England. And that was almost 50 years ago. But even though we're not seeing it, at least not in the time, amen, it's going to happen, we don't have the license to quit believing and therefore quit pressing into Jesus for God to move in our lives and to fulfill His promises. Time is no excuse. And so we talked about that last week. But we also need to be careful, because the temptation is, during this waiting period where not little is happening or nothing's happening, or at least the things that we want to happen or expect to happen or have had promise happen has not happened, to make something happen. Have you ever tried to make something happen and have it blow up in your face? I think one of the primary examples that I've seen this go bad, we're going to read about another situation, is when someone, either themselves, but usually it's someone who has a friend or a family member who's close to them, is single. And they feel bad for them, whether they want someone or not, that they're single. And they want to bring romance, so they try to make something happen for them. I know someone, and I'm not saying that doesn't always work, and if it's of God, it will work, but sometimes it's not of God. And I know we're laughing a little bit, but very seriously, I've seen people who have been kind of pressured into relationships, into marriages that never should have been, and they've reaped, and I hate to say it, but a lifetime of heartache. Why? Because when we want something so bad from God, and marriage is a gift from God, but bring you back to our topic this morning, that a promise. Rather than wait for it in God's timing and God's ways, we try to make something happen, but only end up making a mess. I mentioned to you a few moments ago how we're looking at Abraham, and Abraham was a man of faith, but he was also a man of promise. Way back in, I think he was about 70 years old, if I'm not mistaken, God appeared to him and told him he was living in another land. He wasn't living in the land of Canaan, and said, I want you to go to the land of Canaan, or land I will show you, and there you're going to become a great nation. Different things are going to happen, and it's going to come from you. You, one of the chief parts of this promise was that your descendants, someone from your bloodline, through you are going to be many, many descendants, and specifically, all the nations of the world will be blessed by you, by your descendants. Specifically, descendant being Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus being born out of Israel. And he did. Now, as we've mentioned, 70 back then was still old. Mature. I take that back. I'm very sorry. In fact, the first service I said mature, and I jumped the gun on the second service. And it's less than 20 years I'm going to be there. So I notice 50 now is not as old as I thought it would be. But I imagine 70 will be the same thing. But still, 70 was mature. In fact, when Sarah was 70, which is about the age she was at our text this morning, her time of childbearing had passed. And so Abraham has received this promise that his descendants, And he thought, well, maybe it's going to be my servant. God said, no, it's not going to be your servant. It's going to be a blood relative. It's going to be your child. You are going to have a child. He receives it at 70. 10 years go by and no child. And at this point, Sarah is in no physical shape outside of a miracle. And I thank God, God's a God of miracles, as we read later on in the book of Genesis. Outside of a miracle, is not going to have any children. Nevertheless, a great nation of people, descendants, number the stars of the sea. And so they decide to help God, or to try to fulfill God's promise on their own. Let's read about it from Genesis 16, beginning with verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms. And now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Let's bow our hearts. Let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of his word this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your grace and goodness. We thank you for your word that is full of great promises and so much more. As we look to your word for guidance, for life, for spirit this morning, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move upon this place, upon both this speaker and every hearer here. And we ask this in your holy name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Of course, when we look at trying to wrap our minds, and it is very difficult when we receive promises of God. And one thing that makes waiting on God's promises very difficult is when you see other people receiving an answered prayer, a promise, a healing in their body, and we're still sick. Or a financial miracle in their lives, and we're still struggling to get by. Or miraculous deliverance over some spiritual issue that a person might have been going through, and you're still struggling. It makes it very, very difficult to hold on to God and to believe God and to be patient with God, which is a key theme that we're going to talk about this morning, and continue to wait upon God to move in his timing and to move the way that he desires to move and not the way that we desire to move. It's very difficult, but two things we need to understand that will help us not jump the gun and try to make things happen as Abraham and Sarah did these many years ago. One thing is that as far as the ways of the Lord, the Bible tells us that, you know, the ways of God are far above our ways. They're not just different, they're above our ways, which my understanding is they're better than our ways. Are meant for our good. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is not making you wait because he wants to see you suffer. And God is not only making you wait to build character in you, although he does that. You know, I think that's, you know, one of our go-tos, and it's an important thing. You know, we do learn patience, and out of patience comes many other wonderful things. We read about that in 1 Peter chapter 1. But it's also for our best, and let me share with you a personal example. When I was first diagnosed with cancer 7.5 years ago, I wanted so desperately, you know, and when you got cancer, and any of you have gone through this, you want it out of you. You want them to get every one of those vile, wicked cells out of you. And I would ask my doctor on a regular basis, can we, you know, When can we have surgery? And I would ask him over and over and over again, no, you can't have surgery. And then, lo and behold, 2 years later, there was no need for surgery because the original tumor was gone and all the other tumors were dead and dying, and you know, there was quite a bit in my body. And then about 2 years after that, I met with a doctor who wanted to do surgery even though there was no tumor. Now, which I said no, I declined. and there was a reason for that. And the reason, in his feelings, you know, there was the tissue that the tumor was at was cancer viable tissue. Cancer could grow there, so you might as well cut that out. Now, if I got the surgery when I wanted to get it, way back at the beginning, just cut this out of me so I could be done with it, I would have had a significant lifestyle change that would have been permanent. And actually, my doctor reminded me of this. He said, "Do you remember what you asked me?" And my response to him, "Yes, I remember asking you for surgery, and now I am so glad that I'm." Amen. Not that God couldn't have done a miracle there, but bless God. If God moved, and it began right at the beginning, I believe, you know, healing touch in my body, and I had a wonderful experience here, right in the very spot that I'm standing, where I just felt in my body, although it gradually dissipated. But if it happened not only in my time frame, but the way that I wanted, my life in some ways would have been significantly more complicated. God does all those who can, are called according to his purpose. But secondly, when God moves in his way and his time, he receives the glory. You know, when we do something, Abraham being about 80 years old, for a man 80 years old to father a child with a younger woman, there's nothing miraculous about that, other than the miracle of life. But many 80-year-old men have fathered children. There's no glory in God. There's nothing miraculous. There's nothing distinguishing about that. What are we about as a people? Are we about ourselves? Are we about just getting what we want? Or is there a higher purpose upon each and every one of our lives, that giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? And as I'm so often reminded, Jesus hung on the cross. It was all about us. He died for us. And when we accept him and pick up our cross and follow him, now our lives become all about him. It's life for life. And when we allow God to work his way in his time, he gets the glory. And when he gets the glory, if I be lifted up, all men shall be. It's not just about us. It's about others as well, in the name of Jesus. But Abraham and Sarah decided to take matters into their own hands. And when the promise of God was tested, and our promises will be tested through time and adversity, such as the men who brought the lame man through the ceiling, they tried to make something happen, and it did more than blow up in their face. It did more than cause Hagar hurt feelings and jealousy. It did more than cause problems for little Isaac when Isaac finally was born. Isaac was the child of promise who was born to Abraham when he was 99 years old or 100 years old. The birth of Ishmael, the product of these two people trying to fulfill God's promise on their own, affected the nation of Israel for generations. It is devastating when we try to help God. And there was a reason. You know, when time goes on, we revert to what we know. And what I mean by that, coming to Jesus requires a radical change in the way that you live. You no longer live by sight, you live by faith. You live by trusting God, trust in his word, and being led by his Holy Spirit. But when you don't see what happened, and it's a learning experience. Faith is a journey. We go from faith to faith. Just like Abraham and Sarah, we go through the same thing. And when we don't see things go the way that we want, sometimes the way that we need, Think of poor Lazarus. Poor fellow died before Jesus came and raised him from the dead. That was really not his timetable, I'm sure. But what do we do when we're learning and we're trying to figure out this new way to live? We revert back to what's comfortable, what we're used to, which is I'm going to take matters in my own hands, and I'm going to do something about it. And so just like Abraham and Sarah, we think about it, we try to figure it out. What can we do? What needs to happen? How can we make it happen? And then when we make out our plans, then we act on them. And the results of that, at the very least, is nothing. You know, which actually the title of the message, I neglected to mention it, is Busting Down Doors. The result of that is at the least nothing, at the worst, a world of heartache. And what do I mean by busting down doors? Let me tell you regarding the promises of God. They are supernatural works of God. And last I checked, you can't force God to do anything. I think we've all seen, you know, a TV show or a movie, you know, cop show, Western, whatever it might be. And, you know, someone's in a house or an apartment or something or, you know, behind a locked door and something's going on and the hero has to rush in. And so what does he do when he comes to a locked door? He busts it down, you know. Isn't that great? How many ever wanted to do that? How many ever tried? I think I tried to do that once. I think me and my friends when we were kids, it didn't work out too good. You're in for a world of hurt. That's why firemen carry axes. They don't carry to put out the fire. They carry to chop down holes in the, you know, holes in the door or wall so they can get in. And such it is with the supernatural manifestation which promises fall into that category of God. Only God can bring these things to pass and not man. One scripture that gives us insight to that is found from Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one could open. You know, I hate to be redundant with, you know, using my own life as an illustration, but I found this out very early in my ministry, where I was called, and I knew I was called of God to preach the gospel. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, I knew it. So I went to Bible school, and I knew I was supposed to go to Bible school. I knew which school I was supposed to go to. I ended up going to two schools. And then I got out of school. And so what do you expect to happen when you obey God, when you go to school, you got the diploma, the whole nine yards? You expect ministry to happen, and it didn't. And as hard as I tried for something to happen, it didn't happen until it was God's time. And then God miraculously opened the door and did so in a way I didn't even expect. In fact, every move that I have made, when I tried to make something happen before coming here, there was a church I wanted to go to. I knew that church. A friend of mine pastored that church. I wanted to go to that church. And nothing happened until I got a call here and I came out here. And then all of a sudden, everything came into place after months of nothing. You can't open a door that God has for you. Only God can open that door. But don't we try to do that. And I'm not just talking about matchmaking this morning. Sometimes, and I think we've all said this to our children or in our parents have said it to us, who told you to do that? I think God says the same thing to us as well, you know, in a natural sense. You know, if God's, you know, spoken a promise to you that he's going to provide a new job for you, thinking, well, you know, the new job isn't coming. Well, maybe I need to quit my old job. Maybe that will make it happen a little quicker. Bad move. Or God has given you a promise of healing. You're sick. You're not getting any better. I should quit taking my medicine. Now, I'm not saying people aren't directed at times by the Holy Spirit to take medicine. But let me tell you, in my own personal life, I knew, you know, that God touched me. There's no doubt about it, as bad as the cancer was in my body. But I also know it was important for me to walk through chemotherapy for those 2 years. Don't act rash. Don't act under your own initiative. And I've seen it happen not only regarding those issues, but other issues as well. You know, people chasing evangelists. And I'm not saying evangelists and speakers aren't anointed. They are. But there are some people in trying to make something happen either in their lives or in someone else's lives, go chasing men around or women around, expecting, you know, something to happen because they're following these people instead of pressing into God and waiting on God in His time. Now, I'm not saying don't go see, you know, different event, you know, go ahead, but don't become an evangelist chaser. We need to do something. Let's try something in the church as a program we can do. Or if we sing this certain song, you know, I heard, First Assembly over in this town, they sang this song and something happened. Let's sing this song over and over again. You know, I'm telling you, this happened when I was in Bible school. We walked into a class. It was our class, and our class at Zion was just a unique class, and we saw some awesome things happen. We sang this chorus. Some of you might remember it. The Comforter's Come. Anyone remember that? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just fell on our class, and that class, we didn't have class. It was just a time in God's presence for 3 straight hours and right into chapel service. And it was wonderful. And then I heard some of the other classes, before they started their class, decided to sing The Comforter Has Come. And lo and behold, nothing happened. You know, and I say that in a silly, but, you know, we're looking for these things instead of pressing into Jesus, trying to make things happen. Let me tell you, when you do that, even when, you know, in the case of quitting your job, serious consequences, or taking your medicine, but even the case of nothing happen is very serious and very dangerous, because it can lead to a place of disappointment, because it's not real, because it's not God. And you know where disappointment leads? It leads to discouragement, the 3 D's. And discouragement, if we don't get a hold on it, leads to doubt, which is a lethal place for the believer to be in. Now, there's reasons why we do that. And saying that, we need to discern initiative from impatience. Because what I'm sharing here today, on the surface, looks exactly contradictory to a message that I shared a few weeks ago, where those 4 friends who brought the lame man to Jesus saw a crowd around the house, saw no way to get in, so they made a hole in the roof. And the full title of this message, you can make a hole in the roof, but you can't bust down a door, if that makes any sense. There's a little bit of a difference between the two. And so let me share a little bit. There was a reason that God honored those 4 men, but not what Abraham and Sarah did. The reason is this. What Abraham and Sarah did, they did out of impatience. Impatience is not of God. It is not a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It is something that God is trying to deliver us from. And let me tell you, and I can tell you from personal experience, very few good decisions, if any, are made out of a spirit of impatience. They're usually rash, usually reactionary, usually not well thought out, but beyond that, they're not prayed out. Because if we've been praying about it, we would know that this isn't what God wants. And there are reasons why impatience takes over. Number one is fear that it won't happen. If I don't do something, nothing's going to happen. I've been at that place as far as a pastor many times over the years, and not just here, in the places I have before. I've got to do something, and if I don't, the church is going to close. You know the crazy things. And it never has, and it never will. But it can move you to do some strange things. Panic sets in. Another equally powerful thing that moves us to impatience and to doing things, taking matters into our own hands, which I think is egregious in the eyes of God, is that of anger as manifested through frustration. I have found, and most of you know, that I work customer service at a department store. And today, especially in, Haley knows, I have found, especially in this day and age where you know everything you get is right away. If customers, when they come in the store, if they're not able to come up and get what they need done right away in about 10 seconds, you can literally see steam coming out of every hole in their head. It's true, they don't. You get, when things don't happen the way you want, when you want, how you want, it's easy to allow frustration, which turns to anger. And anger sees red, and that red is not the blood of Jesus. It's the red of, it's the red of anger, which blinds us from, not common sense, godly sense. God help us. So what was the difference between those men, or Abraham and Sarah, and the men who made a hole in the roof? And they wait for everybody to leave. The difference is this. Abraham and Sarah, what they did was out of impatience, and because they were seeking a promise. What those men did was out of love, which is very important, and is was also a key part of Abraham's life, which we're going to talk about in 2 weeks, but also out of faith. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven, rise and be healed." Those men weren't seeking a promise. Those men were seeking Jesus. In fact, that's the key for us to maintain our, is in the waiting for promises to press into Jesus. Because once we touch Jesus, touch the, we know we're exactly where we need to be. Christine, if you would come this morning. This was not the end of the story for Abraham and Sarah. It's been said you can mess up your life with your decisions, but you can't mess up God's promises. And how many are thankful for that? And although Abraham and Sarah suffered for the decision that they made, when God spoke to Abraham, it wasn't a word. And this is just so wonderful. Abraham already knew the mistake. He didn't say, "Abraham, you blew it. Abraham, I don't know what we're going to do now. Maybe we can try to fix this thing." Abraham, God came to Abraham and simply renewed the promise. It is through your wife, Sarah, that you will bear a child. Your descendants will be as the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. Not only do I know we can make mistakes in trying to have self-fulfilled promises, I dare say all of us have. We might have a little Isaac, a little. Doesn't negate God's promise in your life. So Abraham continued to wait on God. You know, we see that so many men of God in Scripture, after they failed God, God was still there. God, even though they weren't faithful, God was still faithful. Samson lost his hair, lost his eyes, lost his freedom, and began to trust God once again, and God rewarded him in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, that promise that you might even now think was lost because you tried to make it happen and nothing happened, and either God didn't say it to you, or, you know, God forbid, but sometimes we think this God's a liar, or I disappointed God, and now that promise is still there, it's still real, it's still true in the name of Jesus, and he's speaking to you right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. No doubt about it. Jesus. Allow the promises of God to do what they were intended to do. To not only let you know mentally that deliverance is on the way, that even though, and as we discussed, you might not even see it in your lifetime, especially revival. You know, I know God's going to move in this church. I expect and hope that I'm the pastor here, but if for some reason I grew old and died, I don't plan on leaving before it happens, it won't negate, I won't feel that I have wasted, and I feel my faithfulness was important and in that, and God's plan for that. But this is something that God's promise, if we have truly embraced God's promises the way that they were meant to be embraced, should engender within us and give us what we need to be patient. And that's joy. And I leave you with this scripture that teaches us this morning from Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. What is a promise? It's not only a pledge of deliverance, it's a message of hope. Embrace that promise with your mind, your heart, and above all, your spirit. And it will birth hope within you, which according to the Word of God enables you supernaturally to be patient, wait for God's timing, God's way to bring about His will. Amen. For the fulfillment of His promise. Let's stand and sing this morning.